It's good to be in the house of God tonight. It's good to be in Augusta, Georgia. Amen. It's a blessing to be here. And I totally agree with Pastor Matt. If I'm a friend of Jeremy's, I'm a friend of yours, right? No. Amen. Praise God. Well, tonight we are going to be talking about a subject that you may not have heard a lot about, but that is prophetic evangelism. And the title of the message is How to Flow in Prophetic Evangelism. So, you know, we talk about giving life and sharing the love of Jesus with people and bringing them into a relationship. And, you know, we've all heard the scripture verse, John 14:12. He that believeth on me, the works that I do, he shall do also, and even greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto the Father. And how many of you believe that in this house tonight? Amen? Amen. I know you do, and I believe it too. So we know that if Jesus did it, that qualifies us to do it too. Amen? And so a lot of what we think about when we think of the works of Jesus is, you know, a lot of times we'll think about miracles or, you know, how he opened blind eyes or raised the dead or you know, prayed for the lame to walk. And we think about the physical manifestations that happen in people's bodies. But how many of you know that that is something that Jesus did, but that's not the only thing that Jesus did? He did more than just heal bodies. And thank God for bodies being healed. Amen? And thank God for what an awesome tool that is to share the love of Jesus and to bring people into a revelation that God is real. I mean, you know, when someone gets healed, it's like, wow, praise God. Like, man, look at that. Their eyes was opened, or, you know, they couldn't walk without pain or bend over, and now they're healed. And it's a manifestation to show people that God is real. Amen? And, you know, it's kind of like what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:57. He said, if Christ has not been risen, then your faith is worthless and you're still in your sins. And so as believers, when we share the love of God with somebody, when we witness to somebody, we need to bring to them the reality of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen? That's what it says in Romans 10:9-10. It says, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, that you'll be saved. And as believers, we've all been given the ministry of reconciliation. Amen? We are all called to share the love of Jesus. And so, in that call, we have also been equipped to show people that God is real, that Jesus Christ was actually literally raised from the dead. Because why would God give us a ministry, set us all in the ministry of reconciliation, and then not give us the tools necessary to fulfill that call? Amen? And so, you know, as you go out and witness on Saturdays, you know, you run into some people that, you know, they need healing in their body. And then you run into other people where they're just fine. They don't need any healing in their body, right? So what do you do with those people? How do you show them that God is real? They don't need healing in their body. Well, there is a way. There is a method. There is a tool that God has given us as believers to demonstrate the reality of God to them. Amen? And that is prophetic evangelism, what I call it. You know, we're going to dig into the Word of God tonight, and we're going to find out all about that. Amen? Amen. So, you know, we say that Jesus, that we can do the works of Jesus. Well, think about the woman at the well. That was a work that Jesus did. You know, she said, you know, who do you think you are, you know, telling me how to worship God? And Jesus said, you don't even know who you're worshiping. And then Jesus read her mail, and he said, you know, go call your husband. And then she said, well, I don't have a husband. And then Jesus said, you have well said that you don't have a husband, but you've had five husbands, and the husband that you now have is not your husband. And now all of a sudden, Jesus has her attention. And now she's like, well, sir, I perceive that you're a prophet. Amen? And then She goes back to the people in the village and she says, "Come see a man who told me all I ever did. Could this not be the Christ?" She's like saying, could this not be... She's like, man, I'm thinking about believing in Jesus as my Lord and Savior, is basically how you would say that. She said, "Come see a man who told me all I ever did." And then Jesus stayed in that same town for a couple of days. And if you read on in that chapter, in John chapter 4, all the people in the town respond. They say, "We do not believe just because of what you have said, but we believe because of what we hear him say ourselves." And so revival took place in that town, and Jesus, you know, he ministered to that whole town prophetically, and they believed in him. Amen? That's a work of Jesus. And if we believe in Jesus as believers, we're qualified to do the works of Jesus. Amen? Amen. So, I want you to turn in your Bibles to Revelation chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19, verse 10. And I'm going to try, I know that it's Wednesday night, and you got school tomorrow, so I'm going to try not to go too long. But we do have a little bit to cover, so I'm going to try and get through that. Revelation chapter 19 and verse 10. In verse 10 it says, "And I fell at his feet to worship him, and he said unto me, See thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus." So in the context here, the Apostle Paul has a visitation from an angel, and his reaction is to fall down and, you know, before the angel and start worshiping the angel. And then the angel corrects him and says, "Don't worship me. I'm your fellow servant, serving Jesus just like you are." Amen. So if you ever have a visitation from an angel, if he tries to get you to worship him, you know, start run. Amen. You know, the only angel I know of that tried to get people to worship him was Lucifer, you know. So, but then in the last part of that verse, it says, "Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." So, wherever a testimony of Jesus is being made, the spirit of prophecy is ready and willing to flow and to function. Amen? This verse equates giving a testimony about Jesus with the spirit of prophecy. And then if we turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, we'll read in verses 24 and 25. 1 Corinthians 14 is the chapter in the Bible on prophecy. And 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 24, it says, "But if all prophesy, and there come in one that believeth not, or one unlearned, he is convinced of all, he is judged of all, and thus the secrets of his heart are made manifest. And so, falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is in you of a truth." Or some translations say that God is among you of a truth. So, there's just a couple things that I want to point out from this verse. Number one, it says that you can all prophesy three times. Now, there's other places in the Word of God where Jesus repeats himself, and he does that to emphasize a point. And he's emphasizing right here, Apostle Paul is emphasizing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit that this is for everybody. Because it says, "But if all prophesy, and there come in one that believeth not." So in the context is saying, you know, if someone comes into the church service, and everybody in the church service is prophesying, or someone comes in, they're an unbeliever, or they're unlearned, they're, you know, they're ignorant about spiritual things, they're ignorant about the Holy Spirit or the gifts of the Spirit, then it says that that we all prophesy and the secrets of their heart are revealed, and then they fall on their face and worship God. Or in other words, if you fall on your face and you worship God, you know, he's your Lord. Amen? Or you're really close to making him your Lord. That's just open the door right there. Now, it doesn't have to be, you know, confined to the four walls like it says in the context here. It can be outside the four walls. And I've got another message that I'm not going to preach tonight because we don't have time, but it's the first part in this message. It's called Prophetic Evangelism 101. And that just goes through a whole bunch of scriptures to establish a foundation that this is a promise of God's Word, and that, you know, it's just like healing, you know, the promise for healing that we have, or for finances. He's promised it to us in His Word, and we can believe it and lay hold of it by faith. And so, you know, it doesn't have to just be in the four walls of the church. You can, it's actually supposed to be outside the church. Amen? Because, I don't know, I'll just share a little bit. One of the laws of Bible interpretation is the law of first mention. And the law of first mention says that if you want to understand a Bible topic, that you need to find the first place in the Bible where it's mentioned, and that is key to understanding that topic. So let's say that, you know, I want to do a study on the topic of sin, and I want to understand that. So if I go into Genesis, where Adam and Eve sinned, and I look that up and I read that and I understand that, that is key to understanding the whole topic. So if you look the word prophecy up in the Bible, the first place that it's mentioned is in Exodus chapter 11. And that is where, you know, Moses is pulling his hair out and he's like, God, if you don't give me some help, I'm going to start killing some people because I can't bear the burden of all these people all by myself. And then the Lord spoke to him and said, you know, you need to appoint 70 elders and I'll put upon them the same spirit that I put upon you. And so he appointed 70 elders and 68 of the elders showed up at the tabernacle, or aka the church building. And the Spirit of God fell upon them. And then two of the elders were not in the church services at the appointed time. The Bible says that they were somewhere within the camp. And their names were Eldad and Medad. And at the same time that the Spirit of God fell upon the 68 elders, it fell upon Eldad and Medad, and they prophesied outside the camp. So to kind of give you a picture of what that would look like, the camp, they say that the Israelites were about 2 million in number. So you could say that Good News Church in Chicago, Illinois, Good News Chicago, you know, the Spirit of God fell in Good News Chicago. I'm prophesying that right now in the name of Jesus. Another church in Chicago. No, I'm kidding. But, but the Spirit of God fell at Good News Chicago. And everybody in the church service prophesied, but there was two members in the church somewhere in the city of Chicago, Illinois, because that's the population of Chicago, is about 2 million, that the Spirit of God fell upon them and they prophesied too. Amen. So it can happen inside the church or it can happen outside the church. Amen? Amen. Yes, praise God. So, you know, it's an amazing tool. And I've got some testimonies that I want to share with you tonight about different times where I've just flowed in prophetic evangelism. And man, it's exciting when that happens. And I remember one time when I was going to Bible school at Rhema. I was a part of their evangelism team. And we would go out every Saturday night and we would witness. We'd go to the bars and the clubs and anywhere we could find people that we thought really needed Jesus. And I remember one Saturday night I was in the parking lot of this dance club called Fusion. It's on Sheridan Avenue in Tulsa, Oklahoma. I was, you know, there's hundreds of cars in the parking lot, and I'm there with this other girl that's going to Rhema and trying to talk to people about Jesus, and everybody's just shrugging me off, and they really didn't want to talk to me. You know, they just wanted to go into the dance club and get their groove thing on, you know. That's really what it was. They're like, oh man, I've heard about Jesus. I don't want to hear that. And so I was getting frustrated. I'm like, God, man, you know, Lord, I did not move all the way from Des Moines, Iowa to Tulsa, Oklahoma to go to Bible school for you not to use me and to show me something, you know, to help somebody. And so I just began to demand and require the Lord, the Holy Spirit, to show me something to help somebody. So I got done praying, and as soon as I opened my eyes, I saw this purple Dodge Neon pull into the parking lot of Fusion Dance Club. And in my heart, I was immediately drawn to the car. So I started to walk towards the car. And it parked. It was about 50 feet away. And as I'm walking towards the car, I had this flash in my mind, the word suicide. And so when I got to the car, I knocked on the window, and the windows were tinted. So the window rolled down. There was a young lady in the front seat. And I said, "Hey, my name's Jason. I just want to let you know that God loves you." And she said, "He does?" And I said, "Yeah, he does." And then I said, "I feel in my heart that you've been having a really hard time tonight, haven't you?" And she said, "Yes, I have." And then I said, "And you've even been thinking about taking your own life tonight, haven't you?" And she said, "Yes, I have." And then I said, "Well, you know, God loves you." And then the Holy Spirit showed me that she had a son. And I asked her, I said, "You've got a son, don't you?" And she said, "Yes, I do." I said, "Well, I want to let you know something, that God loves you so much that he sent his only son to die for you so that you wouldn't have to die." And then come to find out, the reason why she was thinking about ending her life and committing suicide that night was because she was a single mother, and she had one son, and she was facing losing custody of her son and going to jail because she had written some bad checks and done some things that weren't the best, and so she was facing the repercussions of that and losing custody of her son. So it's like, you know, you never know what people are going through, but God knows. Amen? Amen. He knows. And remember another time when I was going to another Bible school called the Academy of Excellence before I went to Rhema. It was just a small Bible school in Iowa. I was just believing God to speak to me and show me things. And I remember we had a morning worship. And I remember I praying to God. I'm like, "God, you know, I'm young. I'm 20-some years old. This is for you guys right here. Amen." The young crowd. I said, "I'm old, I'm young, and I'm smart, and I'm good looking, and I'm 20 years old. I've got my whole life ahead of me. God, I'm not going to..." Amen. It's all right. Call things to be not as though they were. Amen. Come on, work with me. Glory to God. I speak it into existence. Mountain move in Jesus' name. No. So, you know, I said, you know, "I'm young. That's just the way I was thinking. You know, I could be the next Donald Trump." That's really what I thought, you know. I didn't think I was going to be the president, but... So I said, "God, you know, if you're not real, I'm not going to spend the rest of my life living for you, because I need to know that you're real." And so I prayed. I'm like, "Lord, you know, you said in your word, John 16:13, that howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will lead you and guide you into all truth, and he will show you things to come." I thought, "All right, God, I'm going to take you at your word. If your word is true, I know you'll back it up." So I just stood on that verse, John 16:13. I said, "Lord, if you promised it, then show me something to come. Show me something that's going to happen before it happens." Amen? And so I was working for my father, and he had a business where we would visit people at their homes on a two-week rotating basis. Every 2 weeks, we would go into their home and sell them stuff, you know, like clothes or whatever, you know. Beef sticks, cookies, anything you could think of. It was kind of like a, you know, a department store / convenience store on wheels. So I was sitting in this guy's house by the name of Jim Straley. And Jim never really bought a lot. And so I worked on commission, and I was just trying to get in and get out as fast as I could. Because he usually bought about $5 worth of cookies and beef sticks. You don't make a whole lot of commission on $5. But I was trying to get out of there, and lo and behold, that was the time that God was answering my prayer to show me something to come. And I remember I'm sitting there in the chair selling him some beef sticks, just right on the inside of me. Amen. Right on the inside of me, I had this kind of bubble up on the inside of me. "You need to tell him about Jesus, because he's going to die." And I thought, man, that's kind of strange. You know, what if I had too much pepperoni pizza last night? So I just kind of ignored it and shrugged it off. And I'm sitting there again, and it came back again. "You need to tell him about Jesus, because he's going to die." And I'm like, man, he's going to think I'm weird. He won't even buy beef sticks me from next time if I come back. If I start talking to him about God, I better just keep this quiet. So I remember that it was almost like someone was standing behind me and spoke it out loud. You need to tell him about Jesus because he's going to die. And I was sitting in a lazy boy chair, and I remember I stood up and looked behind me because I thought his wife Barb had said something to me. I'm like, who said that? And I stood up, and nobody was there. And I thought, man, I did eat too much pepperoni pizza last night. So I packed up the stuff and got the beef sticks in the drawers and the cookies and went out to the truck and got everything loaded up. And I remember I took the keys and stuck them in the ignition of the truck. And as I turned the ignition, I said to myself, well, I'll find out if that's God next time I come back. So I came back in 2 weeks, and I knocked on the door, and I said, hey, Barb, does Jim want to see anything tonight? And she said, no, Jason, didn't you hear? And I said, no, what? And she said, well, you know, he died 2 weeks ago of a heart attack. So literally he died that night after I left his house of a heart attack. And that, you know, it was shocking. And I'm like, okay, God, you got my attention. I'm going to live for you. That was the answer. I am going to invest the rest of my life preaching the gospel because people are dying and going to hell and they need to hear about Jesus. Amen? Amen. And recently, I was going out on the street with our street ministry team in Des Moines. We go out on a regular basis. And it was just amazing. And I'm actually just going to read this to you. This is just a testimony of what happened. But we go out on the street and we witness. And it says, Angel, a lady who comes to City Reach. That's the name of our outreach that we do on Friday nights. Angel, a lady who comes to City Reach. And I walked up to a car in the Merle Hay Mall parking lot here in Des Moines. There was a man in the passenger seat and a lady in the front seat. I told them God loves them and asked if they both knew for sure that they would go to heaven when they die. The man said, let me ask you a question. Do you believe that heaven and hell are real places? I said, yes, I do. I believe the Bible teaches heaven and hell are actual physical places. He said, well, I don't believe in heaven and hell. I don't believe that they're real. I just believe that they're a state of mind, because you can be in a peaceful place but be going through hell in your mind. That was his reasoning, you know. And he also said, I think the Bible has screwed a lot of things up, and it is not true. I said, well, I believe the Bible is true, not just because it's a book I have read, but because I have experienced the Bible coming alive personally. The Bible has come alive to me. How many of you had the Bible come alive to you? Amen? He said, so you've had some spiritual experiences. Tell me about your experiences. I replied, well, the Bible says those who believe in Jesus will do the same kind of things he did, like pray for the sick, see the blind, deaf, and crippled heal. And as a matter of fact, one time I prayed for a guy who was blind in his right eye, and God completely healed him. When he left, I began to witness to the woman who was in the driver's seat of the car. I asked her if she was his girlfriend. She said, no, he's my fiance. He is Muslim, but I am a Christian. I believe in heaven and hell, and when I die, I will go to heaven because I've asked Jesus into my heart. I responded, okay, can I pray for you? Obviously, she needs some prayer. Amen. And she agreed to let me pray for her. And I began to pray that God would help her to be free from drug addiction and healing from migraines, and for a touch in her mind, and to be set free from having nightmares. And as soon as I finished praying for the young lady, the man came back from going inside the restaurant. And actually, looking back on the situation, I'm sure that he was making a drug deal. I know he was making a drug deal, because he went into the restaurant for about 5 minutes and then he came back. And when we approached him, they both were just sitting in the parking lot with an alcoholic beverage in the center console, just chilling in the parking lot. And yes, he gets a phone call, goes in there for 5 minutes, and then comes back out. So I'm sure that it was a drug deal. So I asked him if he had pain in his body. He said, yes. Then I responded, you have pain in your lower back. God loves you and wants to heal you right now of that pain. Can I pray for you? He agreed to let me pray for him. I commanded the pain to leave and his back to be healed in the name of Jesus. He asked, how did you know my back was in pain? I answered, God showed me this because he loves you and wants to make himself real to you. I began to pray for him more. As I prayed, the Holy Spirit showed me he had been struggling with fear, always being afraid, looking over his shoulder and afraid that someone might try to kill him at any moment. I prayed deliverance from fear over him and from freedom, because he felt like there was a dark cloud that was always following him wherever he went. And God showed me that he had tried many things to get free from this dark cloud that was following him. He had tried 12-step programs and nothing worked. And then the Holy Spirit led me to tell him that God was not mad at him. Amen? That he was forgiven and that God loves him. And the Holy Spirit also showed me that he had participated in the planning of a murder of an individual, and even helped him carrying it out. And as soon as I said that he had participated in a murder and God knew about it and loved him anyway, it was like someone smacked him in the face with a ton of bricks. He winced and began to cry as tears formed in the corners of his eyes. I told him, today is your day. You are going to be free from the darkness following you. I am going to pray for you to make Jesus the Lord of your life, and the dark cloud will leave. You are going to be taken out of Satan's kingdom and placed into God's kingdom of light. We prayed with him right there to commit his life to Jesus Christ. Amen? And not Muhammad. And I mentioned that too in the prayer. Jesus is your Lord, not Muhammad. Amen? And we also prayed that he and his fiance would walk together in agreement, because the Bible says, how can two walk together unless they agree? He thanked us and we hugged right there in the parking lot. I made him promise to read his Bible every day and find a good church. We hugged again. He got into the car with a look of peace, freedom, and amazement at what just had happened to him. He was healed physically in his body. His back felt great, no pain in it. He wondered how I knew about the dark cloud and his, you know, so it's amazing. Amen? And, you know, this is the way that God wants to use each and every one of us, to bring people into right relationship with him. And, you know, the Bible says in James chapter 2 that God he's not a respecter of persons. Amen? And if he'll use me like that, he'll use you like that. Because he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. God wants people saved and snatched out of the flames of hell that much that he'll use any one of us to reveal the secrets of their heart. He'll do anything and everything he can to reach out to the lost and the dying to keep them from spending eternity in hell. Amen? Amen. And the fact of the matter is that I can't be where you're at. And I can't reach people that you can reach. Amen? And, you know, the Bible talks about the ministry gifts. And it says that the ministry gifts are given to equip the saints to do the work of the ministry. You know, the ministry gift of the evangelist isn't given just so that they can be an evangelist and just do their thing as an evangelist and see people get healed and get people saved and born again. The Bible says that they're given to equip the saints so that the saints can do the work of the ministry. Amen? It's all about multiplication. That's how you get growth in the body. That's how the body is edified. Amen. So, if you're taking notes, you can write this down. You can write this down as point number one. We lay hold of the promise of prophecy by faith. Just like you lay hold of it, believe in God for healing, or for financial provision, for any of the other promises in the Bible. All the promises of God are yes and amen to those that believe. Amen? So we're going to go over some scripture verses that will show you that this is a promise of God's Word. And the first scripture verse that I want to share with you is in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 1. You know, and why is it so important that prophetic evangelism and prophecy be obtained by faith? What's the importance of that? Well, the reason that's so important is because some people try and push these things off on the sovereignty of God. And what I mean is, you know, they say, well, you know, if it's God's will, then I'll flow in this. Or if it's God's will and He's in the right mood today, then this supernatural manifestation will manifest through me. And so we're always waiting for God to be in a good mood, or if it's God's will, maybe today. But you can't get anything like that, because that's being double-minded. And the Bible says in James chapter 1 that a double-minded man will not receive anything from the Lord. Amen? And so it's by faith. It's not by if God's in a good mood today, if it happens to be a day where God wills to operate through you like this. Amen? That's why... Glory to God! Amen! Woo! Hallelujah! Thank you, Jesus. So 1 Corinthians chapter 14 in verse 1 says, follow after charity or love and desire spiritual gifts. Notice He commands us to desire spiritual gifts. Now why would God command you to desire something and then not fill you with it? That doesn't make sense to me. If He's commanded you to desire them, then He wants to fill you with them. Amen? So it says, follow after love and desire spiritual gifts. And then it says, but rather that ye may prophesy. Now, King James English, 400 years ago, the word rather meant especially. If you look that up in other translation, that's what that word rather means. It doesn't mean instead of or in place of. It means especially. Everybody say especially. Especially. Amen. So it says, follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. Amen. We're going to go through some more verses. Matthew 18:16 says, out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. We want to establish the word tonight, so we're going to go with a few more witnesses. Amen? So He commands us to desire to prophesy. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 31. 1 Corinthians 14, 31 says, for ye may all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be comforted. Everybody say that we can all prophesy. Amen. I'm so glad it says that, because that means that we can all reach people for Jesus. Man, I remember one time we were witnessing at the mall, and this guy said, you know, I don't believe in Jesus. I'm an atheist. And so I just began to pray with him and reveal the secrets of his heart. And he's like, how did you know that? I said, God showed me that because He loves you and He wants to make Himself real to you. Amen. Hallelujah. All right, the next verse is 1 Corinthians 14:39. 1 Corinthians 14:39 says, wherefore, brethren, and you could also say sistren too, amen? We're not leaving the sistren out. Glory to God. It says, wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy and forbid not to speak with tongues. So here again, the Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, commands us to covet to prophesy. That word covet means like to just to have a strong desire. You just like, you have to have it. Amen? He commanded us to covet, to prophesy. As believers, we're supposed to prophesy. Amen. That's the third witness. We're going to go for one more. 1 Corinthians 14:24. That's the opening text that we read. 1 Corinthians 14:24. Now this, in verses 24 and 25, this is one of the aspects of prophecy, because prophecy is a big term, but this is one of the things that's promised to us as believers. Amen? Amen. I'm not going to go into all the different types of prophecy, like the simple gift of prophecy and all that type of stuff, but it says in verse 24, but if all prophesy, everybody say all, and there come in one that believeth not, or one unlearned, he is convinced of all, everybody say all, and he is judged of all, everybody say all. That means everybody. Amen? Amen. And then what happens? The secrets of his heart are revealed or made manifest. Sounds a lot like the woman at the well to me. The secrets of her heart were revealed and made manifest. Amen? And she said, could this not be the Christ? The secrets of his heart are made manifest, and so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is in you or among you of a truth. Praise God. Amen? I'm like, wow. How did you know that? Well, Jesus lives in me. That's how I knew that. Amen? Glory to God. And Jesus lives in you. That's how you can know that too. Amen? Amen. So, quickly, we're going to go through five faith steps that you can employ in your own life to begin flowing in prophecy and prophetic evangelism. Faith step number one, have a very strong desire for prophecy and for the gifts of the Spirit. Amen. The Bible says in Matthew 5:8, blessed are those that hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. This is a part of your righteousness. We're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, and there's a lot of things that have been provided for us as being seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. Amen. Blessed are those that hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. It didn't say they might be filled or they could be filled, but it says they shall be filled. Woo! Glory! Hallelujah! Thank you, Jesus. So faith step number one, have a strong desire for prophecy and the gifts. Pray and ask God to give you this desire. Amen? And then in 1 Corinthians 14:1, it says, follow after charity. And then it says, and desire spiritual gifts, and especially that you may prophesy. So it said, desire to prophesy in 1 Corinthians 14:1. And that word desire in the Greek is the word zelo. Not J-Lo, but zelo. Amen? So that word desire, zelo, it means to covet earnestly, to move with envy, to be jealous over, to be zealously affectionate. You got to be hungry for it. Amen? You can't approach it with a half-hearted attitude. Amen? And the reason that is because it's going to take that hunger and that thirst to press past your own flesh and your own apathy and all that stuff. You got to press in. Amen? That's what Paul said. He said, I press towards the mark of the high call of God in Christ Jesus. Amen? So then also in 1 Corinthians 14:39, it says the same thing. Wherefore, brethren and sistren, covet to prophesy and forbid not to speak with tongues. Commanded again to covet to prophesy. Same word, zelo. Covet earnestly. So, you know, you just pray and you get on your face and be like, God, fill me. God, please forgive me for being apathetic. Please forgive me for having a hard heart. Because really that's what it boils down to is, you know, as our heart needs to be softened towards these things. And our heart needs to be softened towards the lost. And Jesus, the Bible says that Jesus was moved with compassion towards the multitudes. Amen? So allow the Lord to move you with compassion. Allow Him to fill you with His compassion and His love. And I guarantee, man, I guarantee you, if you just ask God to fill you with His love and His compassion for people, He will fill you. I mean, He'll just do it. Praise God. Woo! Glory! He'll do it. Hallelujah. Man, I'm looking forward to it. Hey, glory to God. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. So ask Him to fill you full of love and compassion for people and that desire. Desire it. Amen? Point number two. Faith step number two. Realize that prophecy and the gifts are laid hold of in prayer. They're laid hold of in the prayer of faith. Amen? They're laid hold of through the prayer of faith. Glory to God. So, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 12. Got to show you this. This is good stuff, man. Woo! Glory to God. Maybe I'll take a drink of water. Glory. That's good stuff. Praise God. So 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 12. 1 Corinthians 14, 12. Give you just a split second to get there. No. I get excited sometimes. I just preach fast. I'm sorry if you don't have time to get there in your Bible. 1 Corinthians 14, 12 says, even so, ye, for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church. You know, so Paul's talking to the church at Corinth, and he's saying, praise God, it's good that you're zealous or you're desirous of spiritual gifts. You're desirous to, you know, to prophesy. And in verse 13 it says, wherefore, let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue... I'll stop right there. How many of you can speak in an unknown tongue? Everybody, right? Everybody can pray in tongues. Everybody can be filled with the Spirit. Right? So he says, wherefore, let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. So the instruction that Paul has given the church, he's saying, it, if you pray in an unknown tongue, you can pray and ask God for the interpretation. So now you don't have just tongues, but you have tongues and interpretation. Which if you look up in Corinthians chapter 12, Paul lists the nine gifts of the Spirit. And one of the nine gifts of the Spirit is tongues and interpretation. Amen? So he's saying, pray that you may interpret. Amen. So, you know, and Brother Hagin said that tongues was the doorway to all the other gifts of the Spirit. Amen. I highly encourage you to pray in the Spirit more. Open the doorway. Open the door to the Spirit realm. I highly encourage you to do that. And so if you can enter into tongues and interpretation by faith and praying and asking God for the interpretation, then you can do that for prophecy too. Amen? And, you know, and he commands us to do that. And you know what? That's been a pattern in my life. Anytime, you know, I've had a word of knowledge for somebody or prophesied to somebody out on the street and revealed the secrets of their heart, it's because I put myself in a place to be used by God. Every single time. It's because I was the one that was getting hungry. I was the one that was stirring up the gift of the God on the inside of me. Amen? I was the one I was saying, pray, God, I just ask you to show me something to help somebody. Amen? Praise God. And you know, you can pray in the Spirit at will. Amen? And so your will has something to do with you flowing in prophecy and in the gifts of the Spirit. Your will's got something to do with it. Amen? He commanded you to desire it. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 31, he commanded us and he said, earnestly desire the best gifts. He lists the gifts of the Spirit and the ministry offices, and he commands us to earnestly desire the best gifts. We're commanded to desire the gifts of the Spirit. We're commanded to desire it. Amen? And so, point number three, that it's through prayer. Point number two was realize that prophecy and the gifts are laid hold of in prayer. And then point number three, realize that it is the fervent prayer of faith that will cause prophetic utterance and the gifts to be manifest in your life. We kind of covered that, but we'll go over it more. Some more scripture verses for you. John chapter 14, verse 13. John chapter 14, verse 13. It says, whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. So if you ask in the name of Jesus, he'll do it for you. And if you look that word ask up in the original language, that word ask means demand or require. A famous Bible scholar by the name of P.C. Nelson did a study on that. And that word means demand or require. And, I remember one time when I was working, before I went into full-time ministry, I was working at a hardware store. And I had to go on this long delivery where I had about 5 or 6 hours. I was driving in the truck by myself. And I had an opportunity just to talk with Jeremy. I think he was driving to a church to minister. And so we were talking on the phone, and he's just like shooting the word into me and saying, you know, you got to demand and require, you know, if you're going to see anybody get healed. And it just started bouncing off me. I'm like, you know what? That's totally true. I know it's true. And then the Lord began to deal with me about demanding and requiring that the secrets of people's hearts be revealed so that they could know Jesus and be born again. So that was a Friday night, and that Friday night we had our evangelism outreach, and I just spent some time in prayer in the truck just demanding and requiring and asking God. I said, God, you promised this in your word. You commanded me to desire to prophesy. You commanded me, and you said that the secrets of people's hearts would be revealed. And I just got after it in prayer and just said, you know, I'm not going to take no for an answer. And so that night we went out to witness, and we were witnessing in front of a Walgreens in North Des Moines. And I shared the gospel with several people at the end of the night, and it was towards the end of the night, and I was walking towards my car, and I'm like, thank you, God. Faith and patience, amen? I didn't give up just because it didn't happen to the first person that I talked to that night. But the Bible says it's through faith and patience that we inherit the promises. So I just said, thank you, Jesus, that you're gonna show me something. I'm walking back to my car. The team is walking back to their cars. It was my dad and two other people just out there sharing Jesus with people, you know. And I'm walking towards my car in the Walgreens parking lot. And there's this young lady that crossed my path. And when she crossed my path, she went to go to her car. And it was just like the Spirit of God just drew me to her. So I followed her to her car, and she probably thought I was a creeper, you know. I followed her to her car. She got in the car with her other friend who was in the driver's seat, and then there was a guy in the back seat, and I knocked on the window. I said, hey, my name's Jason. Just want to let you know God loves you. Do you know for sure you're going to heaven? She said, well, yeah, I know for sure. And I said, well, are you living for God? She said, well, not really, you know. So I prayed with her to rededicate her life to Jesus. And I was just about ready to give up. And I was just something inside me like, no, I'm not going to give up. I said, well, can I pray for you again? And finally, I just stepped out of the boat. Amen. Sometimes you just got to step out of the boat. Glory to God. If you want to walk on water, you got to step out of the boat. Amen. So I stepped out of the boat and I said, can I pray for you? She said, okay. And so I just began to pray. I'm like, dear God, I just pray that you would bless her. And Holy Spirit, I just ask you right now to help me to pray for her. Holy Spirit, I ask you to show me things about her that I don't know, that I couldn't know in my own self and my own ability. Whatever you would have to say to her, Lord, just show me something to help her. And as I began to pray that and just stepping out of the boat, amen, standing on God's word, putting it out there, either God delivers or he doesn't, either I hear or I don't, amen. And so I prayed that, and God always delivers, amen. He's just waiting for somebody to step out in faith to catch the delivery. Glory to God. The Spirit of God is always moving, always flowing, amen. Amen. It's like a big sheet, you know, come down from heaven, like all the water just coming down. It'll run down any crevice and crack that's open. If you're open, he'll flow through you. Amen. I can quote Brother Hagin on that. He said that first, but it's still good. It works here. Amen. So I just stepped out of the boat and I began to pray and I said, Lord, I just pray that you would give her favor with the court systems. And as soon as I said that, a tear formed in her eye, and I knew that I was on track. And I asked her, I said, do you have a couple of sons? And she said, yes, I do. And then I just began to pray more. I said, Lord, I pray that you would give her favor with the court systems, help her to be free from drugs and alcohol, and help her to not lose custody of her two sons. And when I said that, she just started bawling. And her friend in the seat next to her was just bawling, because that was just exactly what was going on. She was facing losing custody of her kids because of, you know, some bad decisions that she had made. But thank God for his grace and his mercy. Amen. Amen. But that happened because I demanded and required in prayer. I said, I'm not going to take no for an answer. God, I thank you that you promised this to me and I can have it. Amen. And you can use me to touch people and to set people free. It didn't happen by me sitting down and waiting for God just to make my mouth move. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. You got to step out of the boat in faith. If you want to get somebody healed, you got to preach the gospel to them. Lay hands on them, command the pain to leave, and then tell them to do something they couldn't do before. You know, you got to step out of the boat. You got to get bold. Amen? Amen. Glory to God. Same thing here. The Holy Spirit will show it to you. Glory to God. So, it's the fervent prayer of faith that will cause prophetic utterance and the gifts to be manifested in your life. Now, point number four, faith step number four, just do it. Put yourself in a position where you have to open wide your mouth. You've got to take action. You've got to purposely and deliberately put yourself in a position. Amen. If you believe it and you want it, take action to step out and do it. The Bible says in James 2:17 that faith without action is dead. And so you just got to put yourself in the position to do it. Psalms 81:10 says, "For I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. Open your mouth wide and I will fill it." Open your mouth and God will fill it. Amen. Glory to God. Luke chapter 12, verse 12. "For the Holy Spirit shall teach you at that very moment what you must say." Amen. Hallelujah. So put yourself in a position. Just do it. And then the fifth and final step, faith step number 5, stir yourself up in the Holy Ghost. This is the fifth and final and the most important. Stir yourself up in the Holy Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. Now, from the very beginning, the purpose of the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit being poured out all throughout Bible history, from Genesis to Revelation, when the Spirit is poured out, the purpose of it is to bring people to Jesus. What does it say in Acts 1:8? It says, "You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth." Amen. That's the purpose of it. And, you know, the Bible pattern is that the Spirit of God fell upon people. You know, in the Old Testament, the Spirit fell. Now in the New Covenant, the Spirit of God lives on the inside, and we don't have to wait for Him to fall. We stir Him up. Amen? So you stir Him up. But that's a pattern. When the Holy Spirit falls or you stir Him up, all throughout the Bible it says that they spoke with tongues and they prophesied. Amen? And, you know, when Eldad and Medad were outside the camp and 68 of the elders were inside of the camp there in Exodus 11, it says that the Spirit of God fell and they prophesied. The Spirit of God fell and they prophesied, or they spoke under inspiration of the Spirit of God. Amen? So you stir it up. You stir yourself up. But look at the Apostle Paul. You know, he wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, the inspired Word of God. And what did he say to the Corinthians? He said, "I thank God that I speak in tongues more than y'all." Amen? So you need to stir yourself up in the Spirit. You know, just pray in the Spirit before you go out, when you go out to witness. As you're out on the street, pray in the Spirit under your breath. You know, do it under your breath. You don't have to do it real loud. People will think you're crazy, you know. I mean, that is Bible, you know. It does say that they're going to think you're mad, you know, if you're praying in the Spirit and there's no interpretation. 1 Corinthians 14. So, you know, I pray under my breath. A lot of times people don't even know when I'm praying in the Spirit. But just stir yourself up. Pray in the Spirit. And those always go hand in hand. Praying in the Spirit and prophecy, it's like peanut butter and jelly. They just go good together. Amen? Where you find one, you find the other. Amen? Glory to God. So, those are 5 faith steps you can take. And how much do I got? A little bit more time? Or we're getting close. All right. So, the last point is... Amen. The last one is that you determine how you will preach the gospel. You're the one that makes that determination. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2, "For I determined to know not anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith would not rest on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God." Paul made that determination. He determined that he was going to preach the gospel in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. And that's what we have to do too. We have to make that determination. And so, you know, tonight I just want to encourage you to make that determination to preach the gospel and allow the Holy Spirit to flow through you. Amen. And